Paul Lambert und Karl-Heinz Riehl 1:0 für Borussia Dortmund.
Alan McInerney, meine Damen und Herren.
Welcome back to the German Football Podcast. Club football is back after a short break that we took from the international break, but we're back with a review of the latest match day. I'll start by, quite a busy podcast today, it's four of us, but start by introducing our co-hosts. I'm starting to feel a bit outnumbered in this podcast because I'm actually the only person in the episode that doesn't live in Hamburg now. We've got George and Roy both in the same room, so it's an interesting development. I'm going to introduce you together and ask how you are. How are you both?
Yeah, no, I'm good. I'm slightly tired. So I've only arrived in Hamburg today. I've had a nice tour around the city from Roy. But yeah, it's a nice first for the podcast for us to be recording together. Makes a slight difference to me just looking at my laptop screen and trying not to laugh at Roy the whole time. Sat next to him instead this time. But no, I'm great. It's a terribly rainy day here in Hamburg, so I'm not really missing out on much. But yeah, it's a strange first for the pod.
Definitely. I mean, took him to St. Pauli, the Millentor Stadium, for the first time he ever saw in Hamburg as well, so I'm sure he enjoyed that. He clearly saw me and Robert having such a great time over here, he had to join us. I mean, you'll probably be next, Colin. You'll probably be on the plane to Hamburg, the most exciting city in Germany, clearly, and for the British football fans. But I'm doing well. A good weekend for the football for myself as well. Finally got to see HSV win a game. So that's always exciting. How are you doing?
Excellent. Yeah, I'm good. Had a great weekend. United won a home game. David Hopkins is no longer in charge. Things are looking up.
And even two better. Quick to mention here, United. Two minutes.
Why not? I mean, that's the first league win I've seen in over a year and a half from here. So if I can't gloat now, when I can. And even better, both of you aren't going to be looking at each other on the screen. You're side by side, so you probably won't be making eye contact and there'll be no laughing, so that's even better.
In this podcast.
No jokes, no laughing in this podcast, because I'm not in the mood for that tonight. And we've also got Robert, who started the trend of moving to Hamburg, and he's just been copied by Roy and George. How are you, George? How are you, Robert?
Wow,
who's, all the English guys. Who's your corner, there? Hamburg?
You don't live in the same corner.
I do actually live about 1,000 meters away from Roy, so pretty close by, I'll excuse it. I actually had COVID last week, so not the best week ever. But the one positive was that I was able to watch all the Bundesliga over the weekend. And also watch a United's thrashing of Rangers B last night. So that was a real positive as well. And looking forward to being back on the pod.
Excellent. That's
you're his new favourite now, Robert, because you said you watched the United game.
No, it's good to be not the only one that mentions the United. And yeah. So yeah, I'm feeling really outnumbered. It seems to be the criteria now for this podcast is that you either have to live in Hamburg or like cricket, and I don't really fall into either category. So I'm starting to fear that I'm going to get pushed out. This is why I keep hosting, so I can actually retain my importance to the podcast.
You were playing cricket.
Enough joking about. Let's go to the Bundesliga review. Erling Haaland scored a double. Brandt and Guerrero scored excellent free kick from Rafael Guerrero. But what did you think, George? Great game, but another game that Dortmund have to outscore the opposition.
Yeah, I know. I think the thing with Dortmund this year is, you know, there's going to be a guaranteed amount of goals. And, you know, the defensively, there's been question marks over them for a number of years now. But with the with the attacking talent, not just in Dortmund, but for Leverkusen, we're probably going to look back at this game and you know, look at the likes of Wirtz, Haaland, Bellingham, Brandt, Diaby, all on the pitch at the same time. Yeah, it's probably going to go down as a real sort of Bundesliga classic. And yeah, it was a great spectacle to watch.
Maybe both laughed.
I think the aside from the goals, another highlight was the Haaland celebration in front of the Leverkusen fans when they all threw the beer cups at him and Bellingham had that catch. That was a great catch. But I don't, Robert, I know you also managed to catch this game. Don't know if you had any takeaways from it. Obviously, we've covered Dortmund, but Leverkusen, they had such a great start to the season, but that's their first defeat. What do you think about them? Do you think they can bounce back from this? It's just a case of on the day they were outscored by another great young attack.
Yeah, I think they seem to have some good players coming through. I thought Frimpong was good at the back. But I mean, it seems to be a bit of a trend. I remember, I think it was 2 years ago, there was a 4-3 game that was for Leverkusen at the Bayer Arena as well. So this game always brings goals. And it's just sort of the same for Dortmund and Leverkusen, really. It's a bit strange that neither of them have really strengthened over the summer at the back when that's where sort of their main problems were last season. I think with them being involved in the Europa League, I think they're in Europa League, aren't they, Leverkusen? It'll be a sort of similar season to them as always, just sort of relatively a few good results every now and again, but I'm not sure that they really have the quality to match a team like Dortmund, particularly going forward.
Yeah, made such a good start. You saw what they're capable of against Gladbach, the score of that, but probably just fall short of the top two or three. They've missed out in the Champions League the last couple of years. I think they do look good this year. They'll definitely be challenging, but in terms of a league push, they're probably a bit short in terms of that. And I actually see Dortmund are, as we're recording, Dortmund are playing the Champions League and they're 2-0 up against Besiktas. Bellingham scored one of the goals. So something he's added to his game, definitely. Started scoring goals. Last season, he fit in so well to the side, but that wasn't really a part of his game. But he's really made a great start to this season with goals being an element of his game as well. So that's great to see. I think that this game probably could have been Topspiel, but we'll get on to the actual Topspiel that happened on the Saturday night later. Probably not spend so long talking about that. But in terms of the other Saturday afternoon games, Freiburg against Köln. Another encouraging Köln display, Roy. Just a shame that obviously they're hampered by that red card from Florian Kainz. But I would say it's encouraging, particularly with Modest scoring again.
It's encouraging, but it's also a game that they're going to look back at and think that they could have scored 3 or 4. They kind of, and it's impressive that they're kind of dominating a game against a team like Freiburg, especially when they're quite close together in the league table. But the last couple of years, Freiburg have been a bit more out of the reach of Köln in terms of league position. So I think it's encouraging. I don't know what Baumgart's doing with the players, but it's working. It's definitely got some of these players like Modest. It's going to come back on you when I said about Modest and like having Modest up front is not going to get you anywhere in this league. And I mean, what is he, nearly top goal scorer now with all his goals? And they just seem to have him playing the kind of right way. But I think even having Kainz sent off, it didn't really happen to them too much. It kind of allowed Freiburg a way back into it. But with Rafael Zico's going that on goal, it just kind of reminds Köln that they still aren't a perfect side and they still have players that potentially, no offence to Zikos, I'm not outlining him, but just there's still players in that squad that aren't exactly going to push them any further. They're still kind of like low-end Bundesliga, high-end Zweitliga players. So there's still a lot of work to be done in Köln, but it's seemingly going the right way.
Yeah, I mean, I think I take your point. It's probably drop points. They've sort of self-destructed. That's why they dropped the 2 points in the end. But it's probably a point both teams will take. They've both made good starts to the season, particularly Köln, considering what they went through last year. Sitting in fifth and seventh, respectively, they'll probably both take the point, move on. and it's quite respectable. But move on to Greuther Fürth against Wolfsburg. George, are you surprised with how well Wolfsburg have started? That's maximum points after four games. Surprise start under Mark Van Bommel?
Well, I think that a lot of Wolfsburg's success, I'm not sure to what extent you can really attribute it to Van Bommel. I've been probably most impressed with the way that they managed to keep on to most of their key players and managed to get players like Mbetcha and Waldschmidt and Luca Bacchio, players that I think are sort of signal of intent of where Wolfsburg plan on being, which is like really pushing for Champions League year on year. They've had quite an easy run of games, you would say that. The one exception was the Leipzig game, which I'm not sure was exactly a classic in itself. So, and you know, I think like we'll be saying a lot of the season that a win against Fürth isn't exactly indicative of a particularly strong team in itself. But yeah, I mean, they are the Spitzenreiter after four games. I think it seems to be generally the consensus that they might drop off, especially after they have to play in the Champions League. I mean, they got a 0-0 draw last night, a bit of a fiery 0-0 draw with a man sent off. And you've got to think that results like that will begin to hamper their league form. But yeah, who knows? I mean, yeah, you can't argue with the start that they've made to the season.
Yeah, reasonably respectable result last night in France, particularly with Brooks getting sent off, that they managed to hold out as quite a favourable group in terms of the rest of the Champions League draw. They will fancy their chances to get through, but it's just a case of whether that does affect their league form as well. And you've got to take into, I mean, they can only play what's in front of them, but you have to take into account that two of the first four games that they're playing in the Bundesliga against the promoted sides. So we'll see what happens when they get a bit more of a difficult run of games and if they can maintain that form. But Robert, Fürth are still awaiting their first Bundesliga home win. I mean, there's not too much you can say about them. I don't know if you have any takeaways from the performance. It's just another game that they're playing a higher quality of opposition, I think, and they've lost out.
Yeah, I think as you see sometimes from promoted teams, they seem to have struggled in the first few games and then had a few panic buys on deadline day or after the first few games. And I think they had four new players in the starting lineup. Jetro Willems, who hasn't played a game for a year and a half, playing Havard Nielsen out on the right wing, which seems a bit strange. And Branimir Hrgota wasn't quite at the form which propelled him to the top of the Zweite Liga last year. So yeah, it's definitely lots of problems for Stefan Leitz to be thinking about. And yeah, I mean, from what I saw in the conference, Wolfsburg barely got out of second gear. So that's definitely worrying for them that at home, they don't even look strong defensively. They can't even build on a clean sheet. So worrying signs for them.
Yeah, I mean, even when they got promoted, the defence was the weakest point of the team. They were quite good going forward, but they did have that leaky defence. And they've lost, let's not forget, coming up, they have lost key players. Like Jekyll has moved on to Union defence. So hopefully, I'm hoping they don't sack Lytle, but they might take it that if they're going to get any chance of staying up, they would need to change the coach at some point. Hopefully they're patient with them and are realistic with their expectations. Hoffenheim against Mainz. Mainz continue their impressive start, Roy. That's a 2-0 win. What do you, any takeaways from that? I know Hoffenheim, it's not particularly impressive for them. I don't think they had a shot on target the whole game. What did you think about this?
I think it just kind of proves that Mainz will stick to where they were last year, as in like they're going to go to places like Hoffenheim now and they will actually be able to grind out a result or play impressively to get a result. Whereas before, that's maybe a place that they would go and there's no chance of anything coming at all. So I think that's kind of all credit to the Bo Svensson at the moment. But it looks like that's the kind of Mainz team we're going to see. I think it's impressive to see Borchardt get on the score sheet as well. He seems to be a kind of player that might excel from confidence of scoring as well. So if they can get him off and running and try and get him to be that number nine that they need, I probably take back what I said at the start of the season. My mind that they'll probably finish quite lowly. I think they could end up in that mid-table position, or even going for that Union Berlin position of last year. Have been complete shocks, but very, very impressed with them at the moment. And to go to Hoffenheim, and well, they've not been the most impressive side apart from their opening day victory, but still, it's a really good 3 points for them, and it just kind of proves where the side from Fouts are doing at the moment.
Yeah, I think they're still surprising people. The form table last season in the second half of the year was that they were playing like a Champions League side, and they've continued that, and they're sitting in the top four after the first four games. It's really impressive. I think you're just waiting for the bubble to finally burst, but there doesn't seem to be any signs of that. George, any thoughts on Hoffenheim? Probably more what you'd expect of them. I know you don't think much of them.
Yeah, I've sort of remained confused as to why there should be any expectation of Hoffenheim. I think this result is probably exactly what Hoffenheim deserve and what Mainz deserve. Mainz have been a good team for the best part of 9 months or so now. And Hoffenheim, I've been very critical of them in the past, and especially of their manager. I just think that their place in the Bundesliga is right towards the bottom. And yeah, Mainz are probably looking to eclipse them as the sort of mid-table pushing on. I don't want to go as far to say Europe, but safely secured in the Bundesliga every year. And I sort of see Hoffenheim sort of promising towards the lower half, because I've said it many times before, but I think their reliance on Kramaric is always going to be an issue for them. You've got younger players are quite exciting, like Jorginho Rutter and things, but I'm not incredibly impressed with their squad when I see it. I've got to say it's fully deserved victory for Mainz. I'm just not a fan of Hoffenheim as a club, so you're going to struggle to get much sympathy from me when it comes to Hoffenheim.
I think I always end up asking you about clubs that you don't like. So I always like these
contracts.
I think I always ask you about Hoffenheim and Augsburg because I know you don't like either. But speaking of Augsburg, 0-0 draw at Union Berlin. I think they seem intent this season on drawing every game, away game 0-0, and then getting battered at home. I won't ask you about Augsburg. I'll ask Robert about Augsburg for a change. I don't know. I mean, there's maybe not even anything you can say about this game, but it was a solid point for Augsburg, and I saw Rafael Gikovic had a quite impressive display between the sticks going back to his old club.
As did Luther in the opposite way around.
Yeah, the clash of the swapped goalkeepers of last year.
I don't think there was a huge amount of coverage of this game on the conference, which shows how little action there was. Looking at the Augsburg squad and their starting lineup, it doesn't inspire a huge amount of confidence. A lot of aging stars. Andre Hahn, I'm not sure he's really at the level anymore. And I think their best chance of the game came to Rhys Oxford from a header from a corner. So I think that says a lot about them, really. And they might be struggling this season. From an Union perspective, I think it's a sort of season of transition, really. They've got a lot of new players, and for the first time playing in Europe. I think they're playing against Slavia Prague tomorrow night. So that'll be a huge moment for the club. And yeah, their focus is more on Europe this season than the league. And I'm sure they'll probably, like most new teams in Europe do, probably be sort of mid-table, maybe even lower mid-table this year. Not a huge amount of inspiring performances from them either.
When I saw them at Hoffenheim, they did look really good. I think that was I saw them against Gladbach as well, actually. And they do have a different element to them going forward. I like Kruse and Aouanee lining up. Is really good to watch. And if they didn't have Europe this season, I would fancy them to get in that top seven again. But I think just the fixtures is going to be, they might drop off slightly as that builds up as we get towards Christmas, even more so if they get into the knockout stages of the Conference League. And the Saturday night topspiel, if you can call it that, was the game saved for Saturday night, the television cameras, but it wasn't particularly entertaining. I'll come to you, Roy. What do you think? I mean, Bayern with a commanding display over supposed challengers, it's a bit slightly underwhelming, you would say.
It was mince. It's a great goal from Limer, but the whole game was mince. No, I feel like... generally, it wasn't a great game. I know 4-1 suggested it was good, but like, it was just, I don't know, it's just a bit boring after a while watching these two play now. I just don't think it's that exciting. Good to see Musiala come out and play really well, which is important as well, to see a young player who's kind of progressing, I would say, at a very quick rate and looks like he's going to be the next best thing. Looked really impressive last night in their 3-0 drubbing of what used to be Barcelona. Don't know what team that was last night, but definitely wasn't Barcelona. Even name half the squad, and exactly like Musiala played really well last night as well. So I think that's probably the only positive I kind of take from this game. A fantastic goal from Limer to beat Neuer from that. If you beat Neuer at that distance, it has to be a great goal. So I was really impressed by that. But the rest of it, I just feel like the game completely passed by Leipzig, and I think Jesse Marsh has got a big task in his hands, especially when he's complaining about all these clubs with money. In Champions League and stuff like that, when his the company that forefronts his club is maybe the start of that kind of stuff, and which is quite funny. So it'll be interesting to see where his comments take him, but I think he's got a right to complain about all the money in football, but he's not really in the best position to be complaining about that, shall we say.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that he's wrong, it's just slightly hypocritical, I would say.
It reminds me of
like when Celtic would be in the Champions League complaining about the different sizes of their budgets while they are winning 9 titles in a row. I think like Brendan Rodgers used to moan about that, but it's a comparable thing. The game wasn't particularly exciting, but matches between those two clubs, I don't know about you, but I don't really get excited about Leipzig playing Bayern just because I don't like either of them. I'd rather they both lost. As depressing as that probably is, because they're the best, they have been two of the best teams in the country the last few years. But and George, Leipzig, not really much to be happy about, not much to take joy from. And I don't think there's going to be much joy in the Champions League for them, the tough group they've got facing Man City later on tonight. But in the league, that's already 3 league defeats. That puts them pretty behind if they're going to hope to challenge for the title. I know you've got your desperate to have your say.
No, I just think that when we talk about Leipzig and we talk about the Bundesliga in general, we forget that nothing ever stays the same for long. And like, they started the season with 4 very hard games against Mainz, Stuttgart, and they won the game against Stuttgart in very impressive fashion. And then against Wolfsburg and Bayern, they've gone down to against two good Champions League sides. We know that they've brought in a lot of new players that are taking a while to gel together. I mean, you know that as soon as Andre Silva hits a bit of form, that could be season defining for them. And I was saying to Roy earlier that Simakan at the back, I can't say I had any idea who he was before they brought him in from Strasbourg, but I've actually been really impressed with him in the opening few games, despite their losses. And I think, you know, Leipzig under Nagelsmann was built on being pretty solid at the back, but not quite being able to convert their chances going forward. And I think they look like they will be able to carry on being fairly solid at the back. I mean, I know this last game doesn't really reflect that, but I think they've got a very good attacking unit, much better than what they had last year, despite, you know, the loss of the likes of Sabitzer and of Meccano. So I think Leipzig will be just fine. I mean, I feel like the talk of them winning the league was a bit premature, but I think they'll be safe for Champions League at the very least.
Slightly disappointed when you started that speech with nothing ever stays the same. I thought you were going to say, like, yeah, like it was like they've been chasing for the league and the Champions League last year. But that might not always be the case. Red Bull could pull their money out. They could end up down in Drittliga, but you stuck up for them. So I'm slightly disappointed with that, but I'll move on to the Sunday games. Frankfurt versus Stuttgart. In all honesty, watched this and I thought it was a pretty mediocre game between two ordinarily looking sides. And particularly Stuttgart, who kept giving the ball away. Both sides really lacked that cutting edge and attack, Robert, but they'll just have to accept the point. Like Stuttgart will be happier with it.
Yeah, you reckon so, especially with the late red card for Anton as well. I think this is the first time I watched Frankfurt this season as well. I don't think I've really quite realised how many of their players have gone, and especially with Kostic striking, or I'm not entirely sure what his situation is at the moment, but him not being in the starting lineup as well, they have a lot of unproven players in attack. And then for Stuttgart, I mean, I've been a big exponent of Omar Mamouche when he was at Zampaoli last year. I thought he was excellent, and it's great to see him get a proper go up front. Possibly one of the benefits of Kalajdzic's long-term injury. But like you said, I mean, most of the games on Sunday were fairly mediocre in quality, not the best advert for the Bundesliga after the 4-3 game on Saturday. And I seem to be saying this a lot so far today, but I imagine both these teams will be sort of higher mid-table. I can't see Frankfurt hitting the heights that they did last season.
Yeah, you said about Kostic dropping at the starting lineup, and you saw how much they suffered in his absence, but you saw the lift that the fans had, everyone, when he came on, gave them that wee bit of spark, and he scored that goal. Obviously, it came from the terrible mistake by Mangala, but it's a great finish, classic Kostic, diagonally into the bottom corner with his left foot. Seen that so often, you know, if you give him a chance to shoot, there's a fair chance of him hitting the target. And Stuttgart themselves, you can see their squad slightly depleted with likes of Kalajdzic out, and they've had to bring in Marmoush in, but he did look dangerous in spells. It doesn't always come off for him. I think you can see that with the decision making. A lot of Zweite Liga players, when they come up to the Bundesliga, slightly struggle with that, but it was good to see him get a goal in the end. Hopefully he can kick on with that and managed to replace some of the goals that they've lost from the injured players. George, did you see this game? Did you have similar thoughts?
Yeah, I was actually covering this game for work, and I was fairly disappointed with both teams. I mean, if we go off last season, these two were, especially going forward, two of the more exciting teams in the league. I just thought that was just such a lack of quality. I feel like the game sort of came alive with Kostic's entrance into the match. A real lack of quality overall from both sides. I feel like Frankfurt probably dropped 2 points in the end, personally, and Stuttgart would probably be happy to get a point, especially finishing the game with 10 men. I sort of feel like they nicked a point in the end. But yeah, like I said, in terms of a spectacle, Frankfurt against Stuttgart should be something that looks more like the Bayer Leverkusen Dortmund game. But I don't know, it just felt like neither of these teams really found their rhythm at all, which is, I think especially like if you look at the managers in Glasner and Pellegrini and Materazzi. Whichever way around it is, I think both managers will be disappointed with the way they couldn't get their teams into a real attacking flow, especially with the tools that they have at their disposal.
I take your point, though. Like it was a game I was quite looking forward to. I was looking forward to the Sunday games, but the entertainment wasn't high quality. And Frankfurt Stuttgart was particularly disappointing, as you say, with the coaches and some of the quality, particularly what you saw the sides last season, you'd expect better. But Bochum and Hertha was the next game. I would say it was a pretty lucky win for Hertha. Bochum were unlucky but just didn't really have the quality at times in this game. And Hertha will be just relieved, really, to get points on the board, won't they, Robert?
Yeah, absolutely, especially given that they lost their first three games of the season and a lot of unrest on and off the pitch. The surprising departure of Luca Bacchio and the rumours about Terzic possibly taking over from Dada as well. I thought this was a game lacking in quality as well. And like you say, Hertha will be happy with the 3 points to get the season off and running. I was surprised at how open Bochum seemed at the back, because they were relatively solid last season in their promotion campaign. But the communication between the back four, and particularly between the two centre-backs, didn't seem to be there at all. There were a huge amount of holes, which was especially the case for Serdar's second goal, I think. In terms of positives for Bochum, I thought Holtmann was really good on the left-hand side, brought a lot of pace into the game and pretty much provided their only goal. But they're definitely going to have to improve over the next few weeks. But I think there's definitely more quality in their squad than Fürth. They definitely got a better chance of staying up. And do you think that over the next few weeks, they will learn from their mistakes and pick up a few more points?
Yeah, Holtmann, just having him himself, they've got that weapon that other teams at the bottom maybe are lacking in, just that player, just that pace that he's got. Saw the goal that he created. Saw the way he turned the Hertha defence inside out. Boyata nutmegged and then went by another player. And yeah, it was really good to see, but it wasn't enough for Bochum in the end as a result of their poor defending. Gladbach and Armenia was the final game of the weekend. And I have to say, it's another 3-1 win that was a wee bit flattering for the win inside. I thought, George, that Armenia were pretty unlucky in this game. I thought they played well.
Yeah, I thought they played well. I had added a bit of quality into the usual fight that we saw keeping up for much of last season. But, I mean, from a Gladbach point of view, it just astounds me that Lars Stindl is just... They're just so reliant on him. And how many times are we going to say that he's got one or two and has got them out of tricky situations, exactly like in this game? I thought he was pretty outstanding again. I mean, we've all seemed pretty certain that Bielefeld's... Roy's got a Bielefeld top on right now. I'm probably going to be all right. I mean, Okagawa took his goal very impressively, I thought, and I've been very impressed with him whenever I've seen him. So I think they'll be fine this season, and they show that they can compete against a well-established sort of top six side in Gladbach. And they were probably unlucky. The scoreline does indeed flatter Gladbach. So yeah, it's not too much to be sad about from a Bielefeld point of view. They certainly put on a decent performance.
I thought it showed how well they've come in the last year and a half. I think if you saw them at this point last season, they probably would have sat back and tried to contain Gladbach, but at times they were taking the game to them. They're a lot more comfortable in possession. And I mean, we don't really usually talk about expected goals, but they scored 2.6 to 1.6. It's not something I usually pay attention to, but that was quite a difference. Armenia, their expected goals 2.6, which was pretty high, but it probably reflected the slight lack of quality they've got in terms of finishing up front. Don't know if you had any takeaways, Robert. If you're wondering why I'm not asking Roy any questions, it's because he didn't see any Sunday games. But so George, it's Roy's wee break now, but Robert.
Yeah, Roy only watches Haas foul games these days. That's the only thing. That's the only thing he needs in his life.
On Saturday night, so that makes it worse. It's not happening at the zone.
Yeah, definitely. I was impressed by Armenia because, like you were saying, last season they seemed to rely on organisation and generally sort of nicking a goal maybe on the break or on the counter-attack. but they seem to have a lot more idea. They seem to have worked over it on the summer with Frank Kramer about, is that his name? Yeah.
No, I just didn't regret him, wasn't
it? No, his name is Kramer Frank.
No, I just remember, I think that was last year, wasn't it? Like, or the end, the...
I'm sure, like, I called him. Oh. I called him, but what's the guy? The guy that used to manage Erdingen with a Stefan Kramer or something. the guy with the curly hair and the hoodie.
Yeah, sorry. This though, with Frank Kramer, they seem to have been working on that over the summer. Seem to have a lot more idea of what they could do with the ball, trying to play out from the back. And the additions they've made over summer teams have been very shrewd, with Robin Hack, who's made the step up to the Bundesliga fairly effortlessly so far. So there's definitely signs of improvement for them, and hopefully a lot less chance of relegation for them.
So that wraps up our Bundesliga matches. A few disappointing ones. I think the standout was definitely that Leverkusen-Dortmund game. Definitely overshadowed the other games of the weekend, but it was an entertaining weekend as well, and the Zweite Bundesliga, and I could finally bring back Roy. Roy's going to come back into the room now and presumably talk about Hamburg's win against Sandhausen, since they actually won.
Well, I've got to, I suppose. Yeah, I think, like I've been saying, and I keep drilling on about it, it's going to come with Hamburg and Tim Walter's style of play. It's going to come eventually. It's going to take a while to inherit it with bringing his style into this group of players, but it's going to come. They still probably do need that goal-scoring striker that they potentially don't have at the moment, but I think they're growing as a team with young players as well, so it's impressive to see them hold on to that. And it's probably a game that last year's Hartwell probably wouldn't have won, I think. I think there's just a bit more momentum in the side, and Robert's shaking his head. But I don't know, I feel like that's another, they dominated the play for most of it. Sandhausen had a couple of bits they came into, but the Volkspark, when Mats Harris scored that last minute goal, was outstanding atmosphere as well. So really exciting to see that back again at football ground. So I definitely took that away from the game. It was exciting. And a couple of more top spiel games come up for Hartwell in the next couple of weeks, as you were so distraught that this weekend's top spiel was Hartwell Sandhausen, as you mentioned on multiple occasions.
I just like to moan, you know that. But I did watch the game. I did decide to watch it, and despite that dramatic end, I think it was quite frustrating to watch. I was getting quite frustrated with Robert Glatzel, kept firing over the bar. But I think they do slightly lack that sharp striker up front. They don't have Torreira anymore. And no matter how many chances they seem to create, they don't really have that finishing touch, which is can be quite frustrating to watch. But they got there in the end and could potentially kick on from that. Another big club that has had a couple of good results in a row now, Werder Bremen won 3-0 at Ingolstadt. That's maybe something to do with Ingolstadt's horrific defending, but it's good to see that Werder are back on track after that low mood that they had from losing so many players. And they've now brought in the likes of Dukes and Weiser, and they've decided to kick on a wee bit. I think that sets up the top spiel this week, which I'm a lot more on board with, Werder Bremen against Hamburg. Are you looking forward to that one, Robert?
Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to the game. I think that's what a lot of neutrals are looking forward to this season, the amount of huge games there are in the second division, the amount of derbies. I'm not sure that Bremen have turned the corner, like you were saying, because their two impressive results were against Rostock and Ingolstadt, the two promoted teams. And as you alluded to, Ingolstadt really were very poor on Saturday. So I think it's two teams going into this game with a lot to prove, with not a huge amount of quality on either side. Like you were saying with Hartwell, I feel like they're just lacking that sort of not quite superstar, but superstar for this level. They don't seem to have anyone who can take the the game by a scruff of the neck. Sonny Kittel hasn't quite got going this season so far. Tim Leibold doesn't seem to have the form that he had 2 years ago. So the two defences seem to be relatively weak as well. So I imagine there may be a few an amount of goals. Although I'm going to hedge my bets and say it might be because there's so much relying on the game that it might be a boring 0-0. But hopefully there's a fair amount of Haasvell fans who are able to go to the game. So there's a bit of an atmosphere as well in the Weserstadion, and that some of the Bremen ultras are there as well. And that after a year and a half of pandemic, remind us why we all love German football.
Well, you've jinxed it now with the multiple goals promise. I think we've all learned lessons after building up big games. I think the best example is probably that Hamburg-St. Pauli derby, the first one when Hamburg got relegated, which was absolutely awful. Hopefully it's not like that. Hopefully it's better. But we'd like to see some goals. And continuing the theme of big traditional clubs winning, Schalke got a win at Paderborn through to Roda. So that's another step in the right direction for them. You can see how they're reaping the benefits of a proven goal scorer at the Zweite Liga level. Other results, Hannover managed to grab a win against St. Pauli. They've had quite a disappointing start so far, so it was a bit of a corner turn for Hannover. Karlsruhe and Kiel drew 2 each. Fortuna Düsseldorf, after a few games without a win, they won at Erzgebirge Aue, who sat at the bottom of the league. Heidenheim beat Dresden 2-1. Regensburg and Nuremberg drew 2 each, and Hansa overcame Darmstadt 2-1. And that ties up the Zweite Bundesliga. And since we've got George on, we can finally have another Dritte Liga section. And I'm just going to hand it over to you because I think you're the best one to talk about this.
I mean, Rob will go for a tea break for 10 minutes and we'll come back, all right?
Yeah, make it 15. Because I'm reporting live from FSV Zwickau, who are currently playing out a very exciting 2-2 draw with Halle. And Lars Lokoc has scored the equalising goal for Zwickau, who I'm told, in no uncertain words, is a Livingston legend, which is believe me, that's a play on words. But no, if we want to go to the weekend's action, would you like me to talk about 1860's current plight? I mean, yeah, what's that like? 5 or 6 draws for us now against 10 men of Halle, who in 2 games last season, we beat them by 10-1. Really lost all of our momentum. The team chemistry seems to be a lot nothing like what it was last season. Our head coach and 5 of our players were in quarantine for this game, but there's no real excuse for not beating a team like Halle, who's playing 10 men and missing a penalty. I mean, like, you've got Mulder's missing fairly easy penalties. This kind of really sums it up. But we'll move elsewhere because I think probably the standout game, quite ironically, was the 0-0 between Kaiserslautern and Waldhof Mannheim, which saw FCK have 2 players sent off and Mannheim's manager was sent off. But despite playing with 9 men, Kaiserslautern managed to defend for their absolute lives. And the whole defensive unit and the keeper were very impressive to muster up a point. Still only 1 win on the board for Kaiserslautern, which was a 3-0 emphatic win against 1860. But they are still sort of struggling down there at 17th. Talking of struggling teams, Teto Harvester, despite breaking the Dritte Liga record for most games without a point, finally picked up a point in another thrilling 0-0 with Wolfsburg Kickers, who are themselves remaining to struggle. Well, Magdeburg have been by far the most impressive side. They won, they got 2-0 Auswärts Sieg in Dortmund. Victoria Berlin still going well, 3-1 win against Wiesbaden. Yeah, there was quite an exciting game between Osnabrück and Braunschweig. Osnabrück have sort of really picked up a form recently. and are in the playoff spot at the moment. So there's a lot of unexpected teams at the top, a lot of unexpected teams at the bottom in 1860 in Kaiserslautern, Wolfsburg. But as ever, you never know what's going to happen in the Dritte Liga. And you definitely never know what's going to happen between Zwickau and Halle this evening. So by the time you listen to this, be sure to see how that game ended, because it looks like it's been a cracker. Last night in the Regionalliga West, there was a very spectacular game between the Gipfelkleppen between Preußen Münster and Rot-Weiß Essen. Preußen Münster went into the Kabine with a 2-0 lead, and Rot-Weiß Essen pulled it back in the second half, winning 3-2 to go temporarily top of the table. But no, that was just an exciting game. The honourable mention for the Regionalliga as part of my Dritte Liga roundup.
I mean, it happened last year. Essen were near the top for most of the season, and Dortmund ended up getting promoted. But
we really want Essen to be promoted, I think.
Yeah, even Munster as well, quite a big traditional club. You'd rather see them in the Dritte Liga. You want to see as many of the bigger traditional clubs up as possible rather than the second teams. Speaking of second teams, Rangers B lost to United last night, so I knew I'd fit it in somewhere. But I promised that it would be part of the agenda. Anyway, that finally wraps up our match day review of the top three leagues, and we'll move on to the quiz, which I believe Robert has got something in store for us.
All right. Well, also during quarantine, I had time to read The Turning Season by Michael Wagg, which was a Christmas present of mine, about the DDR Oberliga season in 1989-90. And so this week's quiz is naming the teams which took part in the 1989-90 DDR Oberliga season. Wow. We're going to go round one at a time, I thought, youngest to oldest. So George, if you wanna start.
Okay. BFC Dynamo Berlin. Oh, yeah.
Correct. Colin, you're next youngest, right?
How do you know how old we are?
Roy's old.
Well, quite the research.
Yeah. June 1996, Roy.
Yeah, but I'm 1st of January, so
1996?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
So I'm always
so what did George said BFC Dynamo? Hansa Rostock.
Correct. Roy.
Magdeburg?
Correct.
Our favourites.
Stahl Brandenburg.
Oh, I was going to say
very
that.
Very good.
I don't know.
Dynamo Dresden.
Yes.
Chemie Leipzig?
No.
Eisenhüttenstadt.
No, George. Hey.
Hey.
What?
George. Sorry. Wow, I think he's the boss now. I think he can do what he wants.
Yeah.
Sorry, go on, George.
I was going to say Kemi Haller. Or
yes, correct. Colin.
Eisenhüttenstadt.
Stahl Eisenhüttenstadt, but I'll take it. Yeah. George. Roy.
I love how we asked if it's going to be an easy quiz. You went, yeah, it'll be 5 minutes. We've already been in a complete arsenal already.
Karls Marchstadt, FC.
Oh, very good.
I don't know if it's Karls Marchstadt FC, but we'll go with it.
It's FC Karls Marchstadt. They've got, I was looking at the Elfreunde shop this weekend. They got a very, very nice kit from the 70s as well, sort of like a diagonal stripe, light blue and white. Would recommend it.
Lokomotive Leipzig.
Yeah.
Rot-Weiß Erfurt.
Yes. There's four left.
They're doing very well, I've got to say. Yeah, I'm pretty impressed.
I've got one.
Try and think of the map.
Early on, we're gone by then, weren't they? I'm not going to guess things. Colin's giving me a really dirty look.
Oh, I've got no idea.
That's a guess. I'm sure that counts.
Yeah, George. George gone.
No one in Towns has done his name of the team. See, before we started recording, we actually were doing a German geography quiz. I'm trying to think. That's why
nice I'm trying to
How's it doing your first date? Yeah.
It's an icebreaker. It's always got an
icebreaker. How is the pub quiz I make for the Irish pub?
Wait, no, is that in the East? No, it's not. At least I said a team in the East.
What did you say?
No, I think I might be out here.
Can I go?
You can, yeah.
Big boss.
Carl Zeiss, Jena.
Yes, very good. Roy, you recommended. Roy, you suggested going here at the weekend.
What?
I was just about to say Elsberg Hour is another hour, but I'm going to just say Elsberg Hour.
They were called Wismut Hour at then, but you know, it's the same club.
I'll take that, yeah.
Any of you Popbus?
Yes, very good.
Wait, did you just get two guests in a row there?
No, one was Roy.
Was that not Roy that said that?
No, I said that.
No, Roy said our.
Slightly different accents.
And so honestly,
you must be rubbing off on each other already, your accents.
There's one team left, and Colin needs this to tie with George, and then we go to tiebreaker.
One team left.
Yeah. And this is if any of you can get this, I'll be incredibly impressed. There's the whole chapter in the book where Michael Wagg actually questions whether this place exists.
Well, it can't be Bielefeld.
Yeah, Miss Fallon.
No, I know that. It's a joke.
I was making a joke, Cam, didn't you? You need to go to your bed, by the way. Jesus, you're later in the day. It's like 8 o'clock.
What's that place on the border? Gorlitz.
It's close to there, but not quite.
Well, that's your guess.
I'll give you all 30 seconds. If no one can guess it, then when did that?
Bautzen.
Sorry, what did you say, Colin?
Wadisa Bautzen.
And what did you say, George?
I said Grossfelder FC.
No, neither of those, unfortunately. It begins with a B, and it is on the border. It's like right on the Czech border. I have to say, I didn't know this team before I read the book. Named after a tractor factory, apparently. They're called Fortschritt Bischofswerder.
Oh no, yeah, Bischofswerder. Yeah, I've seen there. Are they not in the Regionalliga?
No, they're in like the Landesliga or something.
I'm sure there's a Bischofswerder, and
I'm making sure.
Maybe I don't know.
I don't get that.
So we got all of those, but bar one, to be honest. I was thinking.
So the final scores are 6 to George, 5 to Colin, and 3 to Roy.
I get the best ones, though.
Yeah, that's
they are in the Regionalliga.
for 36 yeah. grand, 2 degree gets yeah. you.
So congratulations, George.
Thanks.
You won a VG in Hamburg.
now you have to let them know.
Congratulations, George. That was a challenging quiz. It was a good one. Fair play to Robert for that. But George comes out on top in the end. So we'll just wrap up there. That was good to get back to the wrap up of the German football domestic action after what seemed like a very long international break. So thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll see you next week.